there's quite a lot of litter of this tires around the country, and it's quite an environmental problem. That needs to be addressed. And the idea about, you know, looking at the tire levy is that to encourage reuse, recycling, and recovery of that. And you know, I mean, issues about, you know, maybe looking at a deposit or some sort, you know, it's something that can be looked at. But again, it has kind of like an element of risk there, in a sense that, you know, you find your car and you have tires because there is an incentive to do a deposit on that kind of thing. So there are issues that need to be considered. But I think, you know, the issue around, you know, levying taxes on tires so that to deal with the issue, with the environmental issues on that, it's quite important to deal with. And then on the issue of value added tax, I mean, our VAT system is quite a broad based system, in a sense that it doesn't have a lot of exemptions in it, and as such, it's quite a buoyant revenue raising instrument. And this is Chris has already indicated in terms of its contribution to the tax revenue and as a percentage of GDP, it has been quite steady because, you know, being a broad based instrument and also looking at the consumption, it is quite a buoyant revenue raising instrument. So in that you won't see a lot of changes with regard to that, unlike other tax instruments that are income based, where then maybe economic factors affect the level of revenue. And I think, I mean, that talks to the efficiency of VAT as a tax instrument to raise revenue, because regardless of what's happening in the economy, consumption seems to be quite constant in a way. So then one would expect that revenue rate on that instrument will be quite buoyant throughout this economic cycle. I think that has all of it.
Yeah, I think that's it. All the questions. Thanks, Chair.
I mentioned SACU. Is it possible to reply? If not, you can do it at the legislature.
The issue of a special chair is being addressed at a different level. So at this point, I cannot give you an answer because, yeah.
You engaged with the minister because it was came up in the, during the briefing when the minister was also present. Are you done with your replies? Thank you. Honourable members, that brings us to the end of this part of the meeting. I'm going to request that Esther Sulani Fundi today's engagement is put it together in a short document and circulated to us. Because we're going to, this bill will be referred to us later, I don't know when, maybe after the constituency period. We're dealing with the MTPPS, the other legislation is also coming, maybe in November, but let me just can refresh again. So thank you for the team. We are going to release you because you're now going to the standing committee, and we're waiting for that team to come here on the international agreements. That is to synchronize the committee meetings between the two finance committees, the staff coming from Pretoria. That we switch and the meetings can proceed and it's cost effective for them as well. So all the members, we release them. While we're waiting for the other team to arrive, I'm going to take you to the matter of the land bank. The referral is stated as follows. A letter dated the 6th of May 2016 has been received from the Minister of Finance, inviting the relevant parliamentary committees in terms of Section 40 of the Land and Agriculture Development Bank Act, No. 15 of 2002, to nominate Candidate with a background in credit risk and financial management, as well as agriculture, legal and human resource management, for appointment to the board of the Land Bank. At the previous meeting, I said I will engage with the Honourable Karim about the procedure. The procedure was that a standing committee made use of the parliamentary service to issue a statement that was publicized in all media, inviting people that's interested to put forward nominations by a certain date. The submissions, there was a day of publication of the statements, submissions of the nominees, and then the committee meeting dealing with that. So it's 3 days. Excuse me. Did you give each member a copy of this, Zulay? It's been circulated to you, all the members. Media statement, committee calls for nomination of Land and Agriculture Development Bank Board. Parliament, Friday, 9 September, today is the 7th. The Select Committee on Finance calls for nomination to the position of board members to the Board of the Land and Agriculture Development Bank. Candidates should have a background in credit risk and financial management, as well as agriculture, legal and human resource management. And then it goes on, the criteria. I'm not going to read that to you. Nomination should be addressed to the committee secretary, Mr. Rento, third floor, 90 Plain Street, Cape Town, 8000, there's the email. Closing dates for nominations, Friday, 16 September 2016. There's 7 days to make nominations. And then we will be dealing with this in terms of our program on the 21st of September, I think it's Wednesday, before we depart for our constituency period. So that is the procedure, honourable members. I think it's very straightforward. To comply, and then that information goes to the minister, as requested in the referral. Second members, have views for that. Can we quickly deal with the... where is the other members now? But the members mustn't leave. They mustn't leave. We must stay focused. Welcome to Team Treasury International Agreements. Yeah, you completed your task in the standing committee, now you're here. Being very efficient, cost-effective, etc. Yes, I explained it to the members. So I think it's a good way of dealing with it. All the members, the two agreements, one with Emirates and the other one with Singapore. The content is nearly the same. So it's just two different countries. Because of time, we have to be in a joint chairperson's meeting at 12:30. So I'm going to give you half an hour. Is that enough? Do you need more time for this?
Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to do that.
Use your team. Excuse me.
Okay. My name is Uthando Mvovo from the National Treasury.
Uthando.
Directly within tech policy. On my left is my colleague, on my right my colleague, Ms. Mahumu Malachi, she's from the National Treasury Tax Policy Division. And on my left is Ms. Oshlam Haraj, she's a fair manager, responsible tax treaties at the South African Service. And to the left, for the lead from South Africa Revenue, she's a manager in tax treaties in the South. Chair, we will not explain the purpose of this. I think we've done this for this committee in the past. All we'll do is just the policy rationale why we initiated these changes. I will start with Singapore. I think with the UAE it was the first in the slide. Singapore is. Okay, Singapore is the renegotiation of an existing tax treaty. When Singapore was negotiated, when it came to force, it was in 1997, and at that time we were on source basis of taxation. In 2001, as you may be aware, we moved from source to a residence basis of taxation. When Singapore was negotiated, we didn't have a withholding tax in our domestic legislation. We didn't have a withholding tax on interest. As a result, in the negotiation of the treaty, those two articles were not taken into account. They were not in existence in our domestic legislation. And on the international side, there have been developments. So when we renegotiated the treaty, we also took into account the latest development on the international side. The negotiation took into account the absence of the interest withholding tax, which was zero when it was negotiated, and we then put a rate in an article dealing with capital gains tax and exchange of information in the new treaty. The agreement was signed last year in 2015, on 23 November by South Africa and on 30 November by Singapore. It was signed by Korea, so it was signed. That's why you have two different dates of signature. That concludes my short presentation on Singapore. Ms. Oshna Maharaj will do the textual aspects of the articles, but we'll be very brief even on the articles. Now, coming to the South Africa versus United Arab Emirates Tax Treaty, this is a new treaty. It was initiated by South Africa. Currently, we don't have a treaty with the United Arab Emirates. But the purpose behind the negotiation of the treaty was to encourage investment between the two countries. We've seen a massive growth of South African companies investing in the United Arab Emirates. Even the airlines, South African Airways, Emirates Airlines, I think we have about 4 to 5 daily flights now between... Yes, between the two countries. Yes. So on our side, it's an indication that there's a growth in economic activities between the two countries. We have more than 206 South African companies that have operations in the UAE, in all sectors. UAE is the 19th largest investor. South Africa is the 19th largest investor in the UAE, and UAE is the 24th largest investor in South Africa. So that's an indication of a lot of economic activity between the two countries. The agreement was signed in November 2015. The negotiations started way back in 2010. But due to the development in the international side of tax, we then updated agreements in line with those developments, and that's what delayed the signature of the negotiation. And that concludes my presentation of the two agreements. I'll hand over to my last colleague to do the technical aspects.
Just before she starts, do you remember, all the members, last week, a document we received, a briefing document on Mexico, that our trade, the trade between Mexico and South Africa decreased. That is one of the points. The second point is, the tax you pay to import wine from South Africa was excessive, as stated by Mr. Adrian Tupesani from the RSA embassy. Let's register that matter. Letandu, just register, write it down. If it's possible to give us some information about this. Now you're there. Treasury.
Hello, that's and we will also discuss it with our Department of Trade and Industry.
Yeah, because those people are eager to trade with us, but something is, there's a ceiling that they can't get through. You may proceed. The mic.
Thank you, Chair. And good afternoon, morning, honourable members. I'm going to present the technical explanation to the double taxation agreement with the United Arab Emirates and then Singapore. Of course, the purpose of the DTAs is to remove barriers to cross-border trade and investment. Now, the DTAs follow very closely the OECD and UN model conventions, and that forms the vast majority of DTAs around the world. Of course, what we're going to focus on is the articles which are different to the normal South African approach in the DTA. Okay, Article 4 on residence. Paragraph 3 is an article that we should actually mention something about. It's the typical rule for dual residence of a person other than an individual. And in this treaty, it's determined in terms of place of effective management. Article 5, permanent establishment. Well, in terms of paragraph 2, instead of list of permanent establishment, we have now included also farm and plantation. Paragraph 3, we have our deemed PEs, and this is always a very important paragraph. We have building sites, construction, assembly, installation projects, and supervisory activities have to continue for more than 12 months. And the furnishing of services by enterprise to employees, that has to continue for periods of period exceeding 9 months in any 12-month period. Then the performance of professional services by individuals. To create a deemed PE, it has to continue for a period of periods exceeding 183 days in any 12-month period. Now, Article 10 of dividends, in terms of this article, source and resident state taxation is permitted. And the source state taxation is 5% below the shareholding of 10% in a company. And in all other cases, it's 10%. We have anti-abuse rules for dividends, where the article will not apply, and that's called our main purpose test. It's actually to prevent treaty shopping in terms of this treaty. Article 11 on interest, we again have source and resident state taxation, which is permitted. The source state taxation is limited to 10%. We have another anti-abuse rule for interest, and the article will not apply. In Article 12, royalties, we have a source and resident state taxation once again permitted, but source state taxation is limited to 10%. We have another anti-abuse rule for royalties when the article not apply. So basically, we've included main purpose test for Article 10, 11, 12 to ensure that we protect ourselves from treaty shopping. Article 24, mutual agreement procedure. Now, the reason why we've brought this slide in is that the chair from the Senate Committee of Finance wanted us to present some of the big changes in our treaties that are already in the treaty. Now, in terms of Action 14 of bank erosion and profit shifting, one of the minimum standards is that you have a mutual agreement procedure article. Now, this article authorizes the competent authorities of two contracting states to resolve mutual agreement problems which relate to interpretation and application of the agreement, and also to consult with each other to eliminate double taxation in cases which are not provided by agreement. So you'll find that in most of our details, we have a mutual agreement procedure article to ensure that we can effectively deal with disputes. Then we have Article 25 on the exchange of information. Now, this is in line with the OECD and UN model conventions and covers taxes of every kind and description. It actually permits full exchanges of information. Information requests, spontaneous and automatic exchange are permitted in terms of this article. So we have full information exchange with the UAE. We have the miscellaneous rules where we have a clarification that where dividends and interest are paid by a resident of a contracting state to the government of the other contracting state, the political subdivision or local authority, it shall be exempt from tax in the source state. Paragraph 2 is another clarification for government, and we did this clarification for the UAE, where government shall include the government of the UAE, local government of the UAE, UAE financial institutions, any other statutory body or institution or instrumentality wholly owned by the government of the federal or local government of the UAE, and of course, in terms of the Republic of South Africa, the South African Reserve Bank, and any other statutory body or institution wholly owned. In terms of the protocol, we have a few clarifications. One of the clarifications is in relation to the term state. So state in this case for the government of the UAE is a local government of the UAE, an agency which is an integral part of the federal or local government of the UAE, or an integral part of one of the global governments, and that includes Abu Dhabi Investment Authority. Paragraph 2 clarifies the operation of paragraph 4 of Article 6, which shall not apply with respect to the mere purchase of an enterprise in terms of the other contracting state in terms of law, land and building for its own use. Moving on to the Singapore Agreement, we're going to look at the introduction is the same. We will look at the articles of interest. In terms of Article 4 on residence, paragraph 3, which relates to the tie-breaker rule for dual residence for persons other than a natural person, we have used the text of mutual agreement to settle any disputes arising to the in relation to the tie-breaker rule. And in the absence of the competent authority being able to agree on the residence of that person, that person will be outside the scope of the grid. But the exchange of information article will still apply. Article 5 on permanent establishment, deemed PEs in terms of paragraph 3, well, a building site, construction, assembly, installation project or supervisory activity have to continue for a period of more than 12 months to be deemed a PE. For the furnishing of services by enterprise through employees, it has to continue for a period of periods exceeding 183 days in any 12 months. And the performance of professional services by individual, in order to be deemed a PE, it must continue for a period or periods exceeding 183 days in any 12-month period. We have one additional deemed PE, and it's the carrying on activities by enterprise that consists of or that's connected with the exploration for the exploitation of natural resources, but only those activities continue for 6 months, and that would be deemed a PE. Article 9 associated enterprise, the reason why I put this into our presentation is because Article 9 too is a best practice in terms of Action 14 on the base erosion and profit shifting project. And basically, in terms of this article, it puts adjustment of profits that may be made for tax purposes where the transactions have been made between associated enterprises, those are related parties, and those transactions have not been made on an arm's length basis. Now, in terms of paragraph 2, paragraph 9.2, it allows the outstate to make an appropriate adjustment so as to eliminate economic double taxation, because that would be taxation on the state income in the hand of different persons. So you might have a corresponding upward adjustment made in terms of Article 9.1, and then 9.2 allows the other contracting state to make a corresponding downward adjustment, otherwise you could have economic double taxation. In Article 10 on dividends, we permit again source and resident state taxation. We've got a source withholding of 5% of when shareholding is 10% in a company. And for all other cases, is the source state withholding is 10%. In terms of paragraph 4, we have an exemption that provides that a dividend paid by a company that's actually resident in South Africa and paid to the government of Singapore will be exempt in South Africa. We've also got an anti-abuse rule for dividends and where this article not applying for mid-purpose test. Article 11 on interest, we have source and resident state taxation, and we have a 7.5% limitation on source state taxation. We then have in paragraph 3, and this is in line with our domestic law, exemptions for the state and the gate instruments that are recognized stock exchange. We then clarify what to recognize stock exchanges in paragraph 4, and that's the JSC and Singapore Exchange. We have another anti-abuse rule interest, which is article will not apply. In terms of the royalty article, we have source and resident state taxation, which is permitted. Our source state taxation is limited to 5%. We've got an anti-abuse rule for royalties, where this article will not apply. So in terms of both the UAE and Singapore treaties, we've included anti-abuse provisions in Articles 10, 11, and 12 to prevent treaty shopping through these treaties. I explained the article on mutual agreement procedures and why I incorporated them. This was important for Action 40, and it allows the competent authorities to resolve disputes in relation to the agreement, and also to consult with regard to the elimination of double taxation cases not provided for by agreement. Exchange of information that is the full exchange of information is authorized under this agreement. So we can exchange information on request, spontaneous and automatic exchange of information with Singapore in terms of this agreement, which is in line with the OECD and UN models, but it's in also in line with the new standard. The protocol, we have a clarification for the term statutory body, and then paragraph 8, we clarify that interest on funds connected with the operation of ships and aircraft in international traffic shall be regarded as profits derived from such operation of ships and aircraft in international traffic. Now, this is merely a clarification, and it's done in terms of the context of the commentary on Article 8 on the OECD Model Tax Convention, and is merely to confirm the principle. We then have a most favored nation provision with Singapore, and this was a request from Singapore, of course, to have a competitive rate with South Africa in terms of paragraph 2 of Article 10, where if South Africa entered into agreement with a third jurisdiction and we concluded a rate that will lower for dividends in the source state that will lower than paragraph 2 of Article 10 of that agreement, then South Africa would inform Singapore in writing through the diplomat channels and will enter into renegotiations with a view to giving Singapore comparable treatment as may be provided with our birthday. Of course, the reason why Singapore was asking for this MFN on dividends is that it wanted to ensure that it had as competitive a rate as any other treaty that we might have with any other jurisdiction. And that brings me to the end of our presentation.
Is it your job to receive this?
The MFA.
Which we're doing the, what's the word, oversight over this?
Well, it's National Treasury and South. Of course, in terms of the tax policy, we wouldn't go beyond a lowest rate of 5 for 18% shareholding. So we know that this MFN is there. If we trigger the MFN, then we would need to notify Singapore for the diplomatic channel. It can either be SARS or National Treasury that will inform them, but when the Treasury leaves the tax policy, then they'll inform them, and then we'll have to renegotiate the treaty based particularly on the article if we trigger the MFN.
Questions from the members? How about yourself?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, to go back to the first one on the UAE, I just have a very simple question. I'm trying to wrap my thoughts around, but the slides are not numbered, so perhaps if I could direct you to the slide which is saying protocol. Maybe just make it easier. There you go. Lovely. Yeah, just the second part of the slide, bullet two. I'm finding it difficult to wrap my mind or my brain around this one. Paragraph 2 provides that with respect to Article 6, the provisions of Paragraph 4 of Article 6 shall not apply in respect of the mere purchase by an enterprise of a contracting state of land and building for its own use. Please guide me on this one. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Member, for the question, and I'll try to clarify this. Article 6 deals with the income from immovable property, and it really relates to maybe rental income, so you would classify it under this article. What that provision is merely a clarification that if you merely purchase property by enterprise, or say an enterprise of the UAE purchases property in South Africa, that won't be included under paragraph 4 of Article 6. Because it's not, it's its own use, it's not for rental purposes. That's just a clarification. Yes. Yes. That's right. Yeah, that was the clarification that the UAE sought on that article.
Other questions? I'm going to bring us to the decision we have to take. And wait, no, you can't do. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes. When I'm in the meeting, I put my phone off. Honourable members, I put the following to you. We have now dealt with the two agreements. I put the report to you, the said Committee on Finance, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the agreement between the Government of the Republic of South Africa and the Government of the United Arab Emirates for the avoidance of double taxation and prevention of fiscal evasion with respect to taxes on income payable in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution, 1996, approved the said agreement. I put this to the Committee. Can I get a mover for adoption? Honorable Zimande moves adoption a seconder. Honorable Martin Shipping moves a second. That brings us to Singapore. This led committee on finance, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the agreement between the Government of the Republic of South Africa and the Government of the Republic of Singapore for the avoidance of double taxation and prevention of fiscal evasion with respect to taxes on income, tabled in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution, 1996, approved the said agreement. Can I get a move for adoption? Honorable Matthew Shipley moves. Excuse me, and all the high seconds. Thank you, honorable members. That requires two agreements done by the Select Committee on Finance on the 7th of September 2016. Now we will go to the House and then take the votes further. So thank you for your presence and to brief us about this very important work that we just did, the relationship between countries, not building walls, but building bridges. Thank you. We will sign that. All the members, that brings us to the minutes. We will release our team here. We want to keep you with our housekeeping. In the minutes we have to adopt. 4 sets of minutes. 16, 24, yes, 17. There are 4 sets of minutes, all the members. Honourable members, I take you to the minutes of the 16th of August 2016, briefing by the KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Treasury on the 3rd and 4th term quarterly expenditure of 2015-16 financial year. I put to the committee page 1 all the names, delegations, staff. I put to the committee page 2 presentation made, question of the land bank, which we dealt with, study towards the Mexico resolutions. Page 3, can I get a mover for adoption? Honorable Mohai moves for adoption. Can I get a seconder? Honorable Shupin second. Thank you, Honorable Members. The minutes of the 17th of August, briefings by the National Treasury and the South African Revenue Service on the Rights and Monetary House Amendment, the Revenue Laws Bill, but it was actually the voluntary disclosure program that we dealt with. There's only 2 pages. I put to you page 1. And I put to you on the members page 2. Can I get the mover for adoption? On the motor shipping moves for adoption. Seconder. On the turbine seconds. Thank you. Meeting of the 24th of August, 8:30. We had 2 sessions that day, different times. Presentation by the National Treasury on the Financial Sector Regulation Bill that was prior to our departure to Mexico. I put you in page 1. I put the numbers page 2. Page 3. This is a document we took with us to Mexico. It was in our text. And page 4, honorable members. Move for adoption. Honorable Mai moves for adoption. Seconder, honorable Mr. Shipping. That brings us to the last set. Honorable members, 24th of August, the meeting was 10 o'clock. Presentation by the National Treasury and SARS on the draft Taxation Laws Amendment Bill and the Tax Administration Laws Amendment Bill. It was in S12A. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3 was the presentations. Page 4, continuing. remarks by members. It was not the last time we dealt with this. We will again deal with this. This was just the first bite with the legislation. Page 4 and 5, other members, move for adoption. Member Moran moves. Can I get a second there? Honorable Motor Shipping Sessions. Thank you, other members. Lastly, next week we will be on our Prevention Week programs, so the staff have enough time next week to do our reports. The one is on the provincial treasuries, and the rest is what we did after that. The report on the Mexico trip will take some time, because we're waiting for emails, the presentations that was made to be sent to us with the assistance of the South African Embassy, Mr. Dubasani and Mrs. Hubert. So that will take some time, but other reports can then be looked at. Honorable Matar is not here to advise us on the program, but fine. We'll get the program emailed to us this afternoon or early tomorrow morning. We have a finance meeting again the 21st of September. I presume there will be appropriations on the 20th. And then we break for the 2 weeks in constituency and then come back in October again. So the fourth term dates we will look at is going to be a back program on the members. I want to I'm making a proposal, but we must see if we can fit it in. I don't know if it's possible. That we do a day visit to the Reserve Bank. We met with the National Bank in Mexico. If we fly out in the evening, have a full day.